We're discussing still the Indian of Kavod. We've already, I think, been 3 weeks or so on Kavod. It's glad to spend a long time on Kavod. I think Kavod is perhaps the key ingredient for a successful life. A person's own success is tali in having self-Kavod for himself. The person has to be able to respect himself, give himself chizuk. A person has to have inner strength, which is kavod. And in terms of raising children, as we spoke last week, there's no more important thing in raising children than giving your children love and respect, which we said are very closely connected, because the reason why a child needs love is because without the love he feels worthless. He feels without chashivas. And in relationships, a person wants to do chesed for other people. As we said, the greatest chesed you could do for somebody is give them kavod, is give them respect. So kavod, really, much of life lies in the ability to have a grasp of kavod. So a person cannot be insecure. A person has to be able to build other people. Kavod is really a really a sadistic thing to have a grasp over. People that are running after kavod, people that don't have a grasp over this inyan, you see a lot of bad things come out of this. We are focusing on a parent-child relationship, and now we'll focus on a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Not all of us are Rebbeim, are teaching, but it's important to understand what a Rebbe should be like. You know, one day might be a Rebbe, your children in Mirtz Hashem will have Rebbeim, and you want to know what type of Rebbe you're looking for, what's a qualified Rebbe, then it's good to listen to this. You know, people nowadays looking for, it's a crazy world we live in, they're looking for a Rebbe as fancy, colorful sheets. We're looking for, you know, teachers have to make themselves crazy because the parents judge the teachers based on their artistic talents. We live in a crazy world. You know, for my child, I just want a Rebbe. My priority would be a Rebbe who's just a nice, warm person. Just a mensch. That would be my priority of a Rebbe. All the fancy things. Just someone who cares about the students, someone who cares about the Talmidim. That's someone who will make a good Rebbe. That's the most important thing of a Rebbe. That's what Talmidim need. Chazal equate a Rebbe as a father. Vishinantum levanecha. The Gemara says, Elu ha-Talmidim. That the mitzvah of teaching says Vishnah will never teach your children. We learn now from here the mitzvah of teaching Talmidim, teaching students, and from here the Chazal tell us that a person's children are students are like children. Unfortunately, it's not so common. Unfortunately, this is not publicized. If I was running a Torah Masorah convention, I would just spend 100 speeches every year after year, just focusing on the fact that a Rebbe has to treat his students with love and respect, and the world would be a different place, there's no question. You know, the Vishinantum Vanecha, Rebbe's job is to be like a father, to care about his students, to take interest in his students, to give his children love just like a father, to give his children, to give the students respect just like a father. No different than a father, that's a job of a Rebbe. Unfortunately, you know, imagine, I mean, if you through your life you've been zocha to one Rebbe, if through your life you've been zocha to one Rebbe, hopefully more than one Rebbe, that gave you chashivas, that gave you kavod, that made you feel good about yourself, that's the Rebbe that you remember. That's the Rebbe that you say, oh, that was my best Rebbe. Why? Because he said the best Torah, said the best shtickle Torah. Most people, they look like their best Rebbeim is the Rebbe that made them feel good, that gave them love and gave them respect. And that's a Rebbe that Talmidim are going to want to learn from. A person wants to learn from somebody they like, they love. If I love this person, I want to learn from him. I want to be like him. If this person, I do not like this person, this person doesn't come across as someone I like, I love, so it's not someone I'm going to want to learn from. And, you know, there are a lot of Rebbeim out there. I don't want to criticize all the Rebbeim out there, but a Rebbe, a lot of times, a Rebbe is always giving the Talmud Musar. wanting to do this, wanting to do that, wanting to do that. And the Talmud has a lot of resentment for the Rebbe. And I think the Talmud's right. Because a Rebbe that just gives his Talmud Mussar, who just gives his student Mussar, is one lousy Rebbe. It's a lousy Rebbe. He's not a real Rebbe. A Rebbe is supposed to be like a father. A father that just gives his child criticism is a lousy father. They're out there. But a lousy father. A Rebbe's job, more than any criticism, is to give his Talmud chizuk, is to give him a Talmud love. If a Rebbe really loves the Talmud, is it possible for the Talmud to have a taina on his Rebbe? If his Rebbe comes over to him and says, in a nice way, I've seen, and it bothers me, I've seen Rebbeim give Mussar in public to Talmidim, I've seen them give Mussar in a disrespectful way to the students, that's not a Rebbe. There's no heter to give Mussar to a Talmud in public. There's no heter to Mevaza a Talmud Ram. A Talmud is not worse than any other human being in this world. If I care, you're more responsible to give him love and respect. If a Rebbe goes to Talmud privately and says nicely, and sometimes maybe has to be tough, but if the other 99% of the time, or the other 90% of the time, he's just showing him concern, and he's just taking care of him, and he's concerned about him, so how could anyone have any tainus? How could any Talmud not like his Rebbe, if his Rebbe gives him warmth, and his Rebbe gives him chizuk? You know, a Rebbe has to really think about his Talmidim. I'm not such a perfect Rebbe either, but it's good to tell myself, you know. But the person has to really care about his Talmidim. They're Talmidim that have serious issues. And serious issues, they have depression problems, they have this problem, they have family problems. And the Rebbe comes in every day, okay, come on, we gotta learn. Like, what's the matter with you? This kid has serious problems. A job of a Rebbe is not just to teach his kids a black Gemara. The job of Rebbe is to make a Talmud into a Ben Torah, into a person, into a mensch. First, take care of the kid's real problems. Your only thing you're focusing about is teaching the page. That means you're not looking to teach a student. You're looking to teach a page of Gemara. You have to. A Rebbe's focus has to be on the student. The student has a problem. He has to be aware. He has to care about it. You know, a lot of a Bachar has a family problem. Many times. Rebbeim have no idea what goes on in the children's family. Every Rebbe should be obligated, should go to speak to the Talmud and say, is there anything bothering you? You know, is your family, everything's okay in your family? The Maisa nowadays, 30% probably of every kid's families. I don't know, I don't give a number. Enough of a percent of each person, of kids' children's families have problems in it. Whether it's Shalom Bayis problems or different complications in their life, that would make sense that a Rebbe that actually cared about his student would ask them, you know, everything's okay with you, if you have a problem, please tell me. A Rebbe's job is to take care of the Talmud. And if not, he's not a Rebbe. It's just mind-boggling that we live in a world that Rachman al-Islam children are going off the Derech. Imagine if every Rebbe was a caring person. Imagine if everyone was a caring person. A guy comes to yeshiva, his first kid Rebbe, gives him compliments, he asks a good question, he gives him warmth. Second grade, third grade, fourth grade, is it possible for a child to go up to Tarach? Unless his parents, or could his parents kill him? How could a child get turned off by a yeshiva? How? How could a child get turned off by a yeshiva? Which happens so often, a bacha gets turned off by a yeshiva. Why do you get turned off? Because how come you're not wearing the black? How come you're not wearing the hat? How come you're not doing this? The student's right. He thinks that Torah is represented by this Rebbe. He thinks Torah is represented by this Manal. He thinks Torah is represented by this Mashgiach. Torah's pretty lousy. Torah stinks. They're right. Because they're making a mistake. They're assuming that this person represents Torah. So therefore they say Torah's pretty lousy. Look at this person. He represents Torah. And all he does is yell at me. He doesn't care about me one iota. And he's representing Torah. So they get turned off the dark. You know? That's what happens. There's no way a bacha should come to yeshiva and get turned off the derech. How can you get turned off by people that care about him? How can you get turned off by people that love him? It's just mind-boggling that it's so simple, and it's such a problem, and it's so simple. You know, one day one of us should be zeicha to be in a position where, or make ourselves in a position where we can influence the world in this nakuda. It's so simple. All the Rebbeim speeches about techniques, about discipline, all the things in the world, do me one thing. Just tell the Rebbe to be a mensch, not to get into battles. They're being or get into personal battles. Chutzpah. Just be a parent for the child, a loving parent, and tell me how it's possible that our children would not be successful in yeshivas. I don't know how it's possible. I'm not saying everyone's going to become a Talmud Chacham, but how could a child walk out not wanting to be a firm Jew? Yeshiva is a wonderful place to be. You know, I look at the yeshiva town, I tell my wife, I mentioned this to Ray Kalish, tell me, says his wife the same thing. I said, the yeshiva town, you know, I look at the Rebbeim, teachers, I say, I'm very happy to send my kid here. I have no idea how talented the Rebbeim are in their educational skills. But I know them as people, and they're quite nice people. They're quite just nice, humble, nice human beings. That's the main thing for me. I want my kid to know that someone who's a Rebbe is a nice person. Someone who's a warm person, that's all. Okay, good education, skills, it's worthless. The most important thing for a Rebbe is to care about Talmidim. Talmud, Rebbeim have to care about Talmidim. Do you have enough care about their gashmias? Do you have food to eat? You know, how many people have been pulled over? There have been bachurim that have been clearly in difficult situations, and how often have they, you know, been neglected, not been pulled over? Everything okay? Bachurim that come from poor homes, has a Rebbe ever asked them, do you need help with money, or I'll try to get you money? Imagine if a Rebbe would just make a few small efforts to show that he cared. It's hard to imagine that this world would not be a different place. And it's quite simple. Just treat your students with respect. Students 14, 13, 3, 4, a sign of a great person is he treats children with respect. Children, everybody, if you treat them with respect, with love and respect, they'll flourish, they'll grow, they'll like you. You know, you see that when you see children have a very understand this. I see that children love people that respect them. Sometimes people come to the house and the children are not so interested. Because the guy comes over to them, you know, aggressive, come on, let's do this, let's play. They don't treat the child with respect. They treat the child like he's a toy. They don't treat him with respect. Another guy goes over to the child, what's your name? You know, he treats him like a human being. A three-year-old understands that. You treat a three-year-old like a human being, they like you. Children also need to be treated with respect. Kids a five-year-old in yeshiva, kids 6 years old, I don't care how old he is. He's a human being. He's going to be one day he might be a lot bigger than you, and he deserves respect. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. There's no such thing as hardcore mussar to the Talmud. You're not learning, you're not ma'aretz. What nonsense is that? Cut it out. Why is he's 15 years old. Oh, you're a bum if you don't learn. Talk like a human being. You're a chasha person, you're 15 years old, you have a lot of potential. You know, I want to see you grow. I want to see you fulfill your potential. You're such talents. It's just not... There are no words to describe the ridiculous situation the world's in chinuch. No words. And I think it's quite simple, you know. And Meretz Hashem, one day we'll get together and we'll do something about it. I think this is just the one. I think chinuch comes down to one nekuda. Yes, you have to be a good disciplinarian, but bottom line, the kids don't go off the deck because of lack of discipline. The main thing is just to be warm, just to be respect, just to care and respect the students. Like a parent. Okay, let's talk about marriage. Respecting your wife. Get to finally get some hardcore Shalom Bayis. Again, we're not going to go through all the Shalom Bayis now. That would be 3 CDs, or 3 hours. But we're just going to speak about the Indian of Kavod. And this is a very, very, maybe the fundamental nekuda in marriage, at least in terms of the positive giving to your wife. Later we'll speak about the anger and the negatives. But in terms of the positive, it really boils down to kavod. The Rambam says that the Rechachamim commanded a man to honor his wife more than himself, yes, migufo, more than his own body. V'ayavai kigufo, and he has to love her like himself. So to love her like himself, it could be you can't love someone more than yourself, but you have to honor her more than yourself. And if you have money, you have to be generous with her according to your means. You should not place fear on her, extra fear. You should speak to her softly. You shouldn't be sad. You shouldn't get angry. And the Chum so too commanded a lady that she should honor her husband more than enough, more than he really deserves. You know, he's Joe Schmo. She knows his true character, but nonetheless, she should give him more than he deserves respect, and she should fear him, and she should look at him as like he's a king, and she should be careful not to do anything that upsets him. That's what Rambam says. So the Rambam says, clappy a wife, the husband should be like a king. But from the husband to the wife, it doesn't mean he should demand his kingdom. He should not demand his kingdom. That from the husband to the wife, it has to be that he has to treat her with more respect than himself. That doesn't mean that he should sit her at the head of the table. A man has to be at the head of the table. Otherwise it's a dysfunctional marriage. The husband has to be at the head of the table. If your wife tries throwing you out, so speak to somebody. But figuratively and literally. But the husband has to sit at the head of the table. Husband, that's a healthy marriage. Husband has to be the reish, has to be the leader. Leader doesn't mean he's the boss. He's the leader. It means l'maisa, he's the leader of the marriage. She's dependent on him. But when it comes to honor, he has to be very, very concerned with her honor, more than his own honor. Which means if there's something, let's say, has to be done that's embarrassing, he has to tell his wife, I don't want you to embarrass yourself, I come first. If they don't have enough money to buy clothing, his wife's embarrassment, his wife's honor comes first. If someone else starts up with his wife and puts down his wife, it's very, very important to stand up for your wife's honor. Just like you would be upset for your own honor, a person has to stand up for his wife's honor. A lot of times you see people, I've seen a lot of times, it's bad. It's not good. A lot of times you see people in a group, it's fun. I've seen husbands knock their wives in public settings. You know, they have no sense of humor, I guess, so the only humor they could find is making jokes at their wife. And that's also disrespectful to somebody. It's lacking respect when you put someone down in public. It's a bad sign. A husband should not be putting down his wife. And if I care, I want to tell you something, that when the best time to give your wife honor is in front of other people. Obviously, there's tzniyas. But imagine in front of her parents. Instead of in front of her parents, using that time, sometimes people use that time in front of her parents as a springboard to put her down. They feel maybe safe. You know, she won't fight with her in her parents' house. Instead of using Chas Hashem, putting her down in front of her parents, that's most important, to bring her up in front of her parents. In front of her parents, you should be extra nice to her. You should see extra complimentary. Oh, she makes a joke. Oh, no, she's such a good wife. If I care, when you say something about somebody in front of other people, that builds up even more. If you comment in front of other people, it's more real. It's more meaningful. So in front of other people, a person has to be extra careful to give his wife more honor. Not chas v'sham to put her down, even in a joking way. Also, we have to just realize that the honor you have to give your wife is not dependent on the honor she has to give you. Your wife's supposed to treat you like a king. I don't know how many husbands have told me that their wife treats them like a king. You know, look, with the women's lib and everything like that, a husband's stature is definitely taking a spin down. But bottom line, a person has to realize that it's not tully zebazet. You're obligated to honor your wife. If you don't honor your wife, you'll be held responsible in Shemayim, regardless of how your wife treats you. Yes, if you treat your wife properly, in all likelihood, you'll get back. But that's not the sole intention. Sole intention is to do the Ratzon Hashem, to treat your wife properly. We spoke out earlier that Rav Chaim Vital says a person is going to be judged in Shemayim by how he treats his wife. The most important time to work on your midos, to be careful, is with your wife. That's really where, really you see a person's true character. A person is very, very careful in how he treats his wife, more than anybody else. His wife cares about, a wife is dependent on her husband more than anybody else. And he has to treat her with respect. Nowadays we have tremendous shalom bayis problems because people don't understand that you're supposed to do to your wife, give to your wife because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. Everyone's giving to the wife because they want back. So if they don't get back what they feel they deserve, so no, get divorced or fight or be nasty to her. If she's nasty to me, she doesn't treat me with respect, I'm not going to treat her with respect. Because people's marriages are only based on getting back, which is the antithesis of the purpose of marriage. Purpose of marriage, the Mechtamayo, the Mosheh, the purpose of marriage is to become a giver. definition of a giver is to give, not to get back. Someone who's giving to get back is not a giver, he's a taker. All he's giving is just to get back. So he's really just taking. Person has to say, I'm giving to my wife not to get back. I'll give her generous and covet and respect and love. Either she doesn't give me the love that I give her. That's my obligation, that's my ticket to Olam Haba, no question. That's my obligation as a firm Jew. And what she does to me is hopefully she'll give me as hopefully she'll make me happy and give me what I want, but it's not dependent on each other. In giving your wife covet, so let's first speak about number one issue we speak about is love. Because again, if a wife doesn't feel loved, then she doesn't feel chashav. She's not important. A lady measures herself very much by how much her husband loves her. So if you want to give your wife covet, it'd be impossible to give your wife covet without showing her a tremendous amount of love. Ladies need to be shown often, constantly. Ladies can be very insecure about it, and they really need it. They really, really need it. Just like a child to a parent, mashal, it's probably one of the strongest relationships where someone really needs your love. A lady really needs a husband's love. A lot of times ladies are nasty to their husbands, and if the husbands would just realize that the reason why they're acting out is because they're hurt by the way their husband treats them, because the husband doesn't treat them, you can be a very nice guy. You can be very nice to your wife, you can never yell at her. But if you don't give your wife enough love, she can become very nasty. She can be very hurt inside. She might not tell you. It's very important to give your wife proper love. And just to give you a picture, just it's not about, you know, it's about thoughtfulness. It's not about, you know, a lot of people, they'll buy flowers to the wife every week. You know, a person will call his wife every day during lunch. When you do something, it's a fascinating thing, when you do something every single day, it will not be an asset in building the relationship. Because if you just gave flowers every Erev Shabbos, I try not to give flowers every Erev Shabbos for that reason, but if you give flowers every Erev Shabbos, or you call your wife every day during lunch, so you think, ooh, I'm showing her love because every day without fail I call her during lunch. You're not showing love. Because the first time you did it, you showed love. The first week you did it, you showed love. The second week you might have showed love. But after 2 weeks, if you don't call your wife during lunch, what does that mean to her? She knows that you know that if you don't call during lunch, that's basically an attack. Because I'm not doing something I always do. So anything that has to be done automatically loses its touch, automatically loses its effect. Now it becomes a mandatory. A lot of husbands are always giving, but they make a mistake. They keep on giving the same thing over and over again, and it's not even worth anything anymore. They were better off giving less, spreading out, than doing the same thing over and over again. Also, it doesn't show thought anymore. Yeah, every day you bring flowers. It's routine. Every day you take a shower, hopefully. So every day you bring flowers. It's a routine. A wife has to see effort, mind. You know, the Gemara says, we'll come back to this Gemara again later. The Gemara says Rav Chiya had a bad wife, but nonetheless, anytime he'd go somewhere, he'd bring something back for his wife. If he went to the bris, he'd come back, he'd bring her back a bagel. He'd bring her back a cookie. Anytime he went to where he would bring something back for his wife. So Rav, his nephew, said to him, but she's such a bad wife. How do you do this? So he said back, Dayenu, it's enough. Shemegalos benenu, they take care of our children. He said, ladies in general, they take care of our children, and they save us from chait, they save us from sin. That's enough. So later we'll discuss why he had to give her a reason. Why didn't you just say, because I'm a mensch, I'm a tzaddik. She's a lousy wife, but I'm a tzaddik. He gave a reason. Because she takes care of my children, because she saves us from chay. But what did he do? Every time he went to her, he brought something back. Because what does that show? When you bring something back from a bris, when you do something on those lines, you're showing, I'm thinking about you. I'm at a bris, I'm at a business meeting, and I'm thinking about you. That shows love. If you just punk the middle of the week, come home, brought some flowers to show you how much I love you, so grateful to have you as a wife, that shows love. Things that you consistently do are not worth very much. You know, I think, like, you know, a husband has to be careful. You know, like let's say a husband wants to be, husband thinks he'll be such a good husband, I'll do the dishes. All you're accomplishing by doing the dishes, I think you should definitely chip chip in. But if you did the dishes every single night, so that doesn't show love. After a little while, that just became your job. You're forever more stuck with the job of washing the dishes. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You could help your wife without getting, you know, without giving love. It's nice to be a helpful husband, and she will appreciate it to some extent. But don't think washing dishes every night is a sign of how much I love her. She thinks when he's away, oh, he loves me so much, he washes the dishes. It became, by her, it's already your job. It's already your job. You just got stuck with a job. Forevermore, you're stuck with a job. The person has to be very careful before he accepts upon himself any job, because he's stuck with it forevermore. So be careful before you commit to doing something forever, because you're stuck. You know, it's hard to get out of it. If another husband, it's interesting, one husband can do dishes every night, and another husband, maybe he says, I don't want to do dishes every night. I'll do other things. But once in a while, he says, oh, honey, you work so hard. I'm going to do dishes tonight. And is able to accomplish much more with his once every three week dishes than a guy does dishes every night. A guy can be such a nice husband in terms of helping and doing everything. And not necessarily his wife feels love. His wife just feels he's a nice guy. He doesn't necessarily love me. He doesn't necessarily have a love for me. Sometimes there's some very tough people out there that are great husbands because they're tough. They might not even do so much for their wife, but they're very good at just showing their wife love. They're just very good at making their wife feel like $1 million. And that's really what we're out here. To make your wife feel that she's number one, that she's the one that you're always thinking about, she's the one you appreciate. That's Bekitzer, the Indian of love. Person has to be very careful. It's a mitzvah, it's a chesed. As much as possible to show a wife love. Not to be lazy. It's the little things. You know, if you leave a note, again, same thing. If you leave a note every day for your wife, it's nice. It loses its touch. Once in a while you leave a note, it means more. When you buy your wife a gift for your birthday, Chas v'Shalom, never forget. But if you buy your wife a gift for your birthday, it depends how you do it. You know, the gift she's expecting, the car she's expecting. So you say, well, I'll spend a lot of money. It's not always the money. A lot of times it could be the thought. You arrange a complicated thing to get her supper. It could be the thought. It could be you spend $5. You could spend $2 and make your wife feel like $1 million. People are lazy and people do not think. People just, okay, I'll go to the store and buy her a ring. A person could spend a lot of money on his wife and accomplish very little. A guy could spend very little money and accomplish a lot. It's just a wife wants to feel loved. That's the most important thing to a lady. Not all the money in the world, the most important thing is her husband should absolutely adore her. You know? Whether the person has to show that to his wife. The second Indian is the Indian of covet, actual covet, respect. In respect, I think there are two categories. I don't know if people realize it, but I think there are two categories of respect. A person has to give wife respect that she's a good wife. A lady has to feel that she's a good wife. Besides that, she's loved. She wouldn't be good if a husband told the wife, I love you so much. I adore you. I'm crazy about you. You know, whatever. There could be better wives. Could be, you know, better wives take care of the husbands better. But nonetheless, I would never switch you for anybody. I'm crazy about you. It wouldn't do well, sit well by his wife. A lady wants to feel that she's a good wife. She could be lousy, but she wants to feel that she's a good wife. And that's a husband's job, to make his wife feel that she's a good wife. Complimenting and everything like that, we'll discuss. The second topic, also very important, which sometimes people do not realize the importance of it. A lady wants to feel that her husband respects her as a person, not only as a wife. It wouldn't be good if a husband says, you're the best wife in the world, you're taking me so well. Okay, it could be bigger, you know, lady Nashim Tzidkanias than you. It's not your strength. Your strength is that you're not such a, you know, you're not the Rebbetzin, you're not such a tzaddikas, you know. You have your weaknesses. But as a wife, you're fantastic. That also doesn't sit well by a wife. A lady wants both. A lady wants to feel that she's a great wife and she's a great person. And that gets tricky, we'll discuss, if, you know, a lady's not necessarily a person married to Eishes Rebbe Akiva. A person could be married to a lady that not necessarily holding where she could be holding. Nonetheless, it has to be clear to her that you feel that she's a good person, that you respect her as a person, besides her role as a wife. Okay. In terms of building, let's first discuss, in terms of building a lady as a wife, so first of all, a person has to really appreciate, a person has to show appreciation for everything his wife does. Everything his wife does. I don't know the last time, you know, people do not, I said, when the last time I thank my wife for doing the laundry. A lot of times people neglect to thank their wives for the things they do. You know, when their wife makes them supper, they remember to say thank you because it's in front of their face. Hopefully. But their wife did laundry when they were away, and they come home and their drawers are filled with clothing. They forget. Your wife ever tell you that? You think the clothing got it by itself? You know, people forget to thank their wife for the things they do not in front of their noses. Their wife the whole day was cleaning, she cleaned, or she did laundry, or she did things, and you forget to say thank you. That's a terrible crime. Doesn't she deserve a thank you? And then you have the obnoxious husband as well. That's her job. I should thank her for doing the laundry. If she doesn't do the laundry, she's not a wife. If she doesn't cook supper, she's not a wife. I have to thank her for these things. I have to just be overly grateful for these things. Anyone when I would have married would be doing these things. If not, she's a lousy wife. She's not doing her job. So first of all, let me ask you, if you've mowed the lawn, if your wife asks you to mow the lawn, or your wife asks you, you know, to do something, you know, that was a man's responsibility, if that's what we call it. I don't know. I like to be thanked. Men like to be thanked for the things they do. Human beings like to be appreciated for things they do, even if they're supposed to be doing it. So, a lady deserves recognition just like we want it for ourselves. Akar Sato for everything she does. Everything she does. And really, forget ourselves, but that's halacha. Halacha is a person has to be makir tov for everything that someone does for them, whether it's obligated or not. And it's a very, very important thing that a wife should feel appreciated for everything she does. Appreciate everything she does. The laundry, everything. Any possible thing. It's a very good thing. If a person uses this chachma, uses chachma and says and thinks of things as wife does when he's not home. You know, thank you so much for doing this. You know, or you know, it means a lot to a lady. She wants to be appreciated for what she does. Number two is besides appreciating and also complimenting. And here also lies a certain basic intelligence in complimenting. For example, like we spoke before about, complimenting should be real. It should be honest, at least a certain scale of honesty. If a husband every time says, you know, the wife serves Shabbos thing, chillin', it's delicious. Potato kugel is delicious. The fish is delicious. This is delicious. Now, if you say, tell your wife that everything she made is delicious, so how much does that mean to her? It could be everything's delicious, but she doesn't even know everything's delicious. Not only that, you didn't tell her, you didn't really even show any enthusiasm or any real appreciation for the food. A better compliment would be to say, you know, last week the chillin was good, this week the chillin is unbelievable. That'd be more real. I'm showing that the food is important to me, and there's differences, there's a reality there. You know, the chicken's good, the kugel's great. Not only that, I think, if I could say, I think that once in a while, if there's something your wife serves that you don't like, it'd be worthwhile to say, in a very nice way, you know, I don't really like this kugel, it's not my taste. Because if you never say that, if you decide to be the Chafetz Chaim and eat every single food that your wife serves, and everything she serves is just absolutely delicious. And I love everything you make. You're the best cook. I love everything you make. It doesn't even make sense. Because she's the best cook. You love everything she makes. It becomes unappreciated. It becomes not real to her. If you one time tell her in a nice way, you know, whatever it is, you don't have to always say it. If you know she killed herself to make the kugel, you don't have to say, I don't like it so much. But let's say she stops serving the kugel. You say, this type of kugel I don't like. I like it better when you make the other kugel. there shows a reality to what you're doing. It shows a reality to the compliments. Oh, this he doesn't like. That means everything else he does like. A person is very careful to comment real. You can exaggerate. Good could be great. Great could be unbelievable. Unbelievable could be, I never taste anything like it. You could exaggerate. But let it be to a scale. Let there be some reality to it. Let there be a reality there. Also, a person has to realize that he has to make his wife feel that she's a good wife, even if she's lacking. It's not going to sit well by a wife, obviously, if you say, you're a great cook, you're good at this, but you're not as affectionate as you should. You're not a very affectionate wife. I wish I had something more affectionate. A wife wants to feel she's not lacking. Like, we all want to feel that we're not lacking. Be very careful that a person has to, first of all, make his wife feel that she's a good wife all around. Not to be, oh, this you're not good at. That's not good. But not only that, it'd be a problem. This is a serious issue here. Is a person has to really ingrain in himself a feeling of value towards his wife, that he really appreciates his wife. If a person walks around thinking, let's say a person has a difficult wife, or a lot of times people don't have difficult wives, but they think they're difficult, or maybe they made them difficult because of the lack of being a good husband. But a person has a wife that's lacking in certain areas. So if he walks around thinking, you know, I wish Allah should do this to me, and marry this lady, and she doesn't do this, and I couldn't, you know, she's lousy at this, she's really, really difficult, she's really lacking in her thing. If you walk around thinking that way, even if you're Baruch Hashem smart enough not to say it, your wife will pick it up. That's what we spoke about. A person's judged by the way he treats his wife is because a lady can tell what her husband's thinking. A person has to ingrain in himself, and this is an area that takes a certain greatness, it takes a certain strength, to just focus on all the good things his wife does and really, really have a karas tov, really feel that his wife is great. His wife is really fine. There's nothing lacking. She's Baruch Hashem, I have what I need. And a person should not have any resentment against his wife, otherwise his wife will feel it. And it gets very, very dangerous in marriages. A lot of nice people that have tremendous shalom bias problems could even lead up to divorce just because they walk around with resentment against their wife, because the old lady can feel it. Very tricky, very important nekuda. And that, I think, is shown in the story in the Gemara Nivamis, along with that the Gemara Nivamis said that, what did Reb Chiya say back? Rav said to him, how could you bring back the food from the bris? How could you bring food from the kiddush? Your wife is lousy to you. So he said, it's enough that they raise our children and they save us some chay. What he was telling him was, it's not enough just to say, oh, I'm a tzaddik, I'm going to bring back my wife a piece of cake, even though she's really lousy. And I won't even tell her that she's lousy. That's not even enough. I'm going to bring back the piece of cake with a full heart, that you are a tremendous wife, you are a tremendous help for my life, and I want to thank you by giving you this piece of cake, by bringing this back from the bris. It can't be, I'm a nice guy, I'll be nice to you anyways. You can't even feel that way inside. If a person walks around with that resentment, it's a tremendous, could mamash destroy marriage. All right, so we'll continue. Yeah.